Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls. We are saving businesses, saving jobs, saving our community. Now, if I happen to save a soul along the way, don't hold that against me. That's just icing on the cake. I am Robert Gatewood, your host, and I am here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. We have as our mission here at the Marketing Pulpit, building strong businesses in our community so we can put our people to work. So we create this with job creation, business development, and service. So if you ever find yourself at that business crossroads, if you are a business owner, then you have to turn no further than the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show, because we bring it every single Friday at 10:30 a.m. Now, we are a business development show. Now, of course, we're a little more than that, because we entertain, we inspire, we motivate, we inform. But the total mission is to build these businesses in our community so that we as a people don't have to keep going out to other communities with our hands out trying to get jobs and services. I think it's a poor commentary on a community when you can't hire your own. Kids get out of school, graduate from college, summer comes along, and then they have to go somewhere else to find a job. I can't think of any other community where that situation is so dire. So I've always had the opinion of, you can't, why complain about something which you have a power to change? It's an awesome task, I must say, because sometimes you get so far behind, you wonder if you can catch up. Well, I remain hopeful. I sincerely believe that if we change some of the mindsets, and that's the other thing we have to work on with this show. This show is about changing mindsets from dependency into independence. And I feel that if we create the jobs in our community, many of the other things that are wrong will become right. Things like kids shooting each other, or drug abuse, teenage pregnancy. Some of these challenges are not unique to our community, but today we're not talking about the other communities. We're talking about what can we do in our community to make things better. And economic empowerment is a pivotal part of any community. Any community's vitality, viability. So I've taken upon myself to do what I can to right this ship. I know I can't do it alone. That's why I appreciate the support I've received over the last 6 years. And the support has come in many forms. We've had sponsors. We've had advertisers. We have a good group of guest hosts. We have shows now in 5 different cities. New York City, we have Charlotte, North Carolina, Marvin, North Carolina, Houston, Texas. We also have a disability show, and we have a sports show. Go to marketingpulpit.com. Go to marketingpulpit.com and find out what we are about, what our mission is, our goals, our aims. You can see the personalities. You can listen to past shows. And you can also join us. Get on the mailing list. Join the business directory. Call us, join the discussion. The number is 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. We also keep you abreast of what's going on in the news. Right now, we just found out some tragedy took place in France, in Nice, France. I'm going to touch on that quickly. And also want to welcome to the show, co-host Elena Selvin. Elena Selvin, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
Doing just good. Yeah.
That's all right. How are you?
Sounding good. Everything is good. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. You know, as we had talked about, Robert, or I had informed you, my son is in summer school, so I have to call in. But nonetheless, wish I was there in the studio with you guys, definitely discussing some of the things that have been going on in our country, not to mention, obviously, the the serious tragedy that happened in France that I was looking at this morning. But there are some things, and I know you guys have talked about the shootings and some of the things that were going on, you know, in our community. And I know you had talked about it last week, but when we get to the word, there are some things I do want to mention, just because I think that every time we have an opportunity to let people know or be informed about their rights, we should do that, you know?
Well, that's very good. Well, we're looking forward to the word, and you always bring it. I was listening to the news. It seems like, I'm just wondering if it's me, but it does it seem like things are just spiraling out of control? Is it, I know things have always been.
It's a certain energy force that I think sometimes, you know, and whether you believe in God, Allah, Jehovah, you know, right, whoever your divine order is in life, you can't help but recognize that there is certain tragedies that happen, and for some reason, it's like an energy force that kind of just comes through. It just seems like it comes in, you know, I don't know whether it's twos or threes. I've heard people say, well, these sometimes happen in threes. But it is an energy that I think is like an uncertainty or an energy of sadness, or, you know, I mean, as happy as I am about, you know, life and things like that, I just can't help but think about certain things that have gone on in the last few weeks that have just brought, you know. So,
well, you know, what we have to do as the adults now, a lot of people are saying things about karma and chickens coming home to roost because what happened in Brussels, Belgium, a lot of people went back to King Leopold and how he mistreated the indigenous people with torture and cutting off their hands, killed multitudes, millions and millions of people as he reigned, tried to control them through the colonialism that took place at the time. And now we have in France, it's not too distant future. I mean, we can still remember the Indochina War that went on from 1946 to 1954, where once again France was quite brutal in the suppression. They actually lost finally at the Battle of Dien Bien Phu, Ho Chi Minh, and they transferred that battle over to the United States. Then, of course, we had the Algerian War from 1954 to 1962. And they won their independence in 62. But it was, once again, France was very brutal in suppression. They were one of those colonial powers that went into Africa and chopped it up back in, I think about 1865, they had this conference. Had this conference where they decided how they're going to chop up Africa. Well, a lot of these colonial powers now are starting to, that bad karma they put out there, that it kind of a reaping of the sowing, reaping and sowing. So I say to people in today's age, be mindful.
It has been, 18 months? It's just like, you know, several tragedies within, 18 months.
Yeah, but look at it this way, Alina Selvin. We have in our midst right now an opportunity we have a presidential candidate right now who's kind of that same mindset of what's going on. What has been going on in Europe, the continent of Europe has turned very phobic. They've seen a lot of xenophobia about different religions and races and immigrants. And so they've turned to the right in France and Germany and England. And our country is unfortunately following that lead. And we don't need to. We really don't need to. This is not the time. Newt Gingrich makes this absolutely absurd suggestion of giving people a religious test. If they believe in Sharia law, they should be deported out of the country. Yeah, so it's crazy.
I heard that this morning, and I was like, what? I mean, I was just shocked, and I said, okay, this is another way to discriminate against people in our world. And I'm going, haven't we? We're not getting it.
Because the answer to people bombing you and you would think, I mean, the gut reaction is, well, let's get them back. Let's lock them out. Let's build a wall. Let's deport them. Put them in a camp. But that is the exact wrong approach. What you need to do is admit that we are a country that was built on tolerance. And even though when the country was built, black people were excluded from a lot of the rules and regulations that were put in place. But still, if you get to the foundation of the core principles, it is a country that was built on religious freedom. And so when you have people like Newt Gingrich coming out saying, well, let's start giving people a religious test to, if they don't pass the test, like people are going to really sit there and say, hey, I'm Sharia, and now send me out of the country. But a lot of these people are born in the United States he's talking about.
So how can you support them?
How can you deport somebody who was born here?
I mean, without completely changing the Constitution, and not only the Constitution, the actual Constitution, but you can't even do that because of the Constitution that this country was built on, premise, which is what you're saying.
That's exactly right.
It's just like absurd, and to me, it just shows the basis sometimes of some people. And I'm not saying everybody has, you know, this form of racism, but there is, to a certain extent, a desire to, and I don't understand that, a desire to, that one person is right and the other person is completely wrong, so therefore you should not receive the same that I am receiving.
Well, I got it. It's called systemic racism, and it runs rampant in the country.
Yeah.
And until we address it, we're going to see more and more trouble coming down the road. So the good-hearted, right-minded people have to take control and rein in these crazies like Newt Gingrich. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Lena Salvin has her worried, but also later in the show, do numbers lie? Is the sun hot? You bet your sweet bottom numbers lie. In the marketing sermon coming up at the 11:15 hour, I'm going to give you a sermon on eight ways that numbers lie. We're also going to have Philosophy Day giving our tax and accounting tips. Marketing Pulpit, we'll be right back after the break.
Traffic update brought to you by Lead Safe America. Eastbound on the Southeast Southwest Freeway, we've got delays from the 14th Street Bridge as you get closer to 6th and 7th Street Southwest. Got an accident. Also, northbound 395 remains heavy and slow from 110 to 14th Street. This update brought to you by Lead Safe America. Thinking about renovating that beautiful old house, don't poison your kids. Test for lead. To learn how to make your house safe, go to LeadSafeAmerica.org. The WOL forecast for today, hot and sticky, remains a high near 95 degrees. Overnight low dips to 72. We have mostly cloudy skies in the nation's capital, 86 degrees. This weather update brought to you by the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. Each day, more than 1.6 million Americans suffer with Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. Support the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America to help and find cures. Visit ccfa.org. I'm Angela Foster. 1450 AM WOL, where information is power.
Just be glad you got it.
Now we're going to get older.
And get some more.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to welcome you back to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 AM bringing you the good marketing gospel. Having a studio, Philosophy, our tax and accountant extraordinaire. Good morning, Philosophy.
Good morning, Robert. Thank you for having me today.
When I see you coming to the door, man, I have to start thinking about my books, making sure I dotted all my I's and crossed all my T's.
Look, you know I'm intrigued by your discussion, so yeah, I'm going to hang around for that one. I'm excited.
Do numbers lie? But let me tell you guys something. I've been watching these AKS go on the radio on these shows like CNN and MSNBC and Fox. And without failure, some guy whips out a piece of paper, say, hey, I got the facts, I got the numbers, and that's supposed to arbitrarily and totally shut down the person on the other side of the desk because they have these numbers. Well, I have news for you. People always, and you know what, and then they follow that up by saying, look, I got the numbers, I got the data, I have the science. And then they say, numbers don't lie.
Well, they can be misconstrued.
A lie today, that's because people lie. Numbers don't lie.
Numbers,
right?
Let me tell you something. When I give my sermon later on, I'm going to give you 8 ways that numbers do lie.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, of the many hats that I've worn, I'm ashamed sometimes to say how many hats I've worn in my years. But also, I studied calculus and statistics quite a lot during my undergrad days. Matter of fact, that was one of my strengths, and I never gave it up. So when I'm watching these shows and watching people throw these numbers around, I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, that can be debunked, because there's a lot of variables in these numbers that you can make a number say anything you want to. So anyway, coming up later in the show, we're going to talk about, do numbers lie? You darn right they lie, and I'm going to tell you how they lie, and I'm going to tell you how to refute when you have somebody throwing those numbers in your face. You're listening to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. The number is 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. Go to marketingpulpit.com and also like us on Facebook. We're on Facebook at Marketing Pulpit. We're also on Twitter at Marketing Pulpit. And follow us. That way you get to know in advance what we're going to be talking about, who's going to be on the show. Sent out a tweet this morning, let everybody know we're going to be talking about Dave's numbers, Elena Selma is going to be here, Philosophy is going to be here. So go to Twitter and Facebook and our website, marketingpulpit.com. And by all means, if you have a question or if you have a comment on any of the topics for any of our hosts, call us at 1-800-450-7876. In the next segment, of course, Philosophy is going to be giving us some tips. What are you going to talk about today, Philosophy?
Well, I'm going to be talking about what you should be looking at from second quarter results to prepare for third and fourth quarter of this year.
Ooh, I like that. Looking at that number, see how you can tweak things, huh?
Yes.
All right. I like it. Lena Sam, what you got on your plate there?
Yes. Okay. So I wasn't on last week, and I still felt compelled. And you know I felt compelled, Robert, because
Were you jumping in your seat over there?
Yes, and I said, oh, no, the minute I give that, I got to discuss the recent shootings and just, talk about how we can be more empowered in our own communities and to just remind people about something that happened 20 years ago or a little more than 20 years ago, but to remind people of what happened during that situation and how it got resolved. And the situation I wanted to bring up was in the Rodney King meeting. Okay?
Okay.
What happened was when Rodney King's situation happened, when the officers went to court, okay, they were part of a grand jury. The grand jury decides whether they're going to indict the guys, whether meaning that the state will bring charges against them,
right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They were acquitted during that time. No charges were brought against them, okay?
Okay.
That is when they began to riot in L.A., okay? Because there were no charges, against these. They had charged 4 police officers, okay? There were a lot more, but they found 4 of them to be, we're going after 4 of them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was, because of the riot, the Justice Department got involved, okay? The Justice Department hired an independent or got an independent counsel or prosecutors to independently investigate where the officers violated Rodney King's civil rights,
okay?
They found them at least 2 of them to be guilty. And they took them to court, and those 2 officers had to go to jail. They were charged, they were found guilty, and they were sent to jail.
Okay?
So what I wanted to say was that it can happen. Police officers can be charged and found guilty.
why do you think they're not in so many cases?
Because the prosecutors who are going after them are in the next office building. They work too closely together right now. So what happened is that the prosecutors in the Rodney King issue, okay, or Rodney King situation, what happened was those prosecutors worked too closely with those police officers.
Well, I think what's
and
happening...
It is very difficult for them to all of a sudden... They've been working. They've been seeing these officers for the last 5-10 years. They've been working with them. Now, all of a sudden, they got to file charges. They got to prosecute them. And they also have to say, listen, we want to send him. This cop is guilty, and he's guilty of murder. And he cold-bloodedly killed this man. And he deserves to go to jail.
But I think what one
they
of the
cannot do, they are not doing that in grand juries, and that's why these cops are getting off. So that's why it's very important that we understand that particular phase in our criminal justice system, that we understand that we must become part of grand juries, okay? Because that impacts our community a lot more than we realize. And then also, I'm hoping that these families call for an independent investigation of the Alton Sterling and the Philando Castile murders, basically, because those two men were murdered, and so were countless others. But you know, we're dealing with these two. They were murdered. You cannot tell me that two police officers basically holding a man down, shoot him 6 times in his chest, is subduing a man? No. Or that they felt like their lives were threatened?
Well, we'll let the prosecutor determine the guilt or innocence of whether they were murdered, but from what we saw, from our standpoint,
it definitely
seems like an avoidable killing, unjustified, and I would leave the... we hope that justice will prevail, and that's what our wish is. I think one of the things that the Black Lives Matter group has been calling for is bringing in independent prosecutors, independent
we need
investigators.
That's a huge loophole, Robert, in our criminal justice system.
Right.
And it's like government employees are looking out for government employees, and it's very difficult. And they must, where I believe that when a police officer is involved in a shooting and it appears as if that the victim has been murdered, then I believe it should be some sort of independent counsel, because I think it's grossly unfair. It's just horrible. It's horrible not find justice in these killings. It's just horrible. And from what I see on those tapes, it just doesn't look good. It really does not look good, and it's shameful.
All right, Lena Sam.
That's what I wanted to say. I just wanted to urge everybody to get involved in the grand juries in their community, because that's really where our voices are. That's really where they begin, is what's going on in our court. That's where we can be the most effective.
All right, folks, Elena Seven.
Keep on our protesting and things like that, but I'm just saying, our criminal justice system has loopholes in it.
You are right. Well, thank you, Elena Seven. Thank you for those words. This is a very passionate issue. This is something that's we're going to be dealing with probably for days to come, and we do have to get involved. We tackle it on this show from an economic front. People tend to be a little less respectful of you, a little less see you as equals when you are not equally economically empowered. If you are coming to them for their jobs, if you're coming to them for your livelihood, for your products, your services, they're not going to treat you as an equal. And so you kind of being viewed as someone that's not quite equal, or somebody who's disposable, somebody who is not as human as you are. So I take it from this point. I mean, there are different angles we have to take this. We have to approach this. My approach is, let's take care of this economic angle. Let's get economically viable, empowered. Let's build these jobs in our community. Let's support our community businesses.
I agree, Robert.
Because, Felicity, I tell you, I look at this from being and wearing so many hats. I get to see it from so many different angles, from the
Robert,
psychological, the legal, the accounting part. Yep. But it comes down to economics.
Did you even know, and most entrepreneurs don't even realize, that our little small businesses are included in the GDP of the United States economy? And we don't look at that as being a viable aspect of the economy. We think that our small businesses does not impact America. It does. So if we do make a more economic stand, Robert, we would definitely impact and get our point made.
All right, folks. Thanks, Felicity. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have Felicity talking about the second quarter marketing pulpit. We'll be right back after the break.
WOL Washington, WPRS HD2 Waldorf, WKYS HD2 Washington, WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, celebrating 35 years of service to the community, where information is power.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
You gotta get more power to
rocking and rolling here on the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show, bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls. We're saving businesses, saving jobs, saving our community. The number is 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. Go to marketingpulpit.com and stay abreast of what we're doing here on the show, how we're impacting the community, putting people to work, creating jobs, and, of course, providing service. Service is a pivotal part of your marketing strategy. You need to get the sales, you need to get advertising, you need to get the service, get those metrics working in your way. The three sets of numbers you should be aware of at all times. That's your CPA, your cost per acquisition. You should be aware of your LTV, your lifetime value, and you should be aware of your COG, cost of goods sold. If you ever gone to Chalk Tank, and that's just a little hint of if you are aware, if you are prepared. If you don't know what those numbers mean, first of all, you're already in deep doo-doo. Now you got to figure out how they impact your business and what they are. That's why we have people on the show like Felicity. We also want to give a handout to our hands up, applaud our sponsor, BLE Executive Suites, Miss Bernadette Clay. I mean, just fantastic lady. She's the personification of what we preach here on the show. She's hiring people. She's putting people to work. She's providing good service through her company, BLE Executive Suites. They have their new location over at near Tanger Outlet in National Harbor, right where they're building that big MGM. They even have the letters on the side of the building now, so that thing is going up. So BLE Executive Suites, they have their office in National Harbor and the landmark office over in Largo at 9701 Apollo Drive. Go to BLESuites.com to find out about the locations. Go for a walkthrough. Let them put your location needs as one of those four P's of marketing place. Make sure you're taking care of that. They're holding it up for you. And so many other clients have taken advantage of their services. A lot of therapists, attorneys, CPAs, all types of services are using BLE. You can order a suite by the hour, by the week, by the month, or you can sign a long-term lease. That's BLE Suites at 301-322-1700, or go to BLESuites.com and visit them on the web. Get a free walkthrough. Felicity, we talked about last week about this second quarter. We talked about halftime.
Yes.
I'm glad now we have somebody to put some numbers on it, some hard facts.
Okay, Robert, we're done with the second quarter. We all should be extremely happy. Why? Because we have all the back-end information regarding our products.
So we're done with the first quarter. Now we're in the second quarter.
Nope, we're in the third quarter.
We're in the third quarter. That's right.
Yes, we're in the
second
third quarter.
I'm thinking the
second quarter is over with, Robert.
The first quarter, second quarter. Okay, I'm thinking half.
Uh-oh, y'all.
So we had the first half, which included the first and the second quarter.
Yes.
Now we're in the second half, which is the third and fourth quarter, but we're in the third quarter.
We're in the third
quarter.
All
right, gotcha. All right.
And while we're in the third quarter, there are a few things that all of us business owners need to do. I don't care if you are a product-based business, service-based business, if you have a food truck, what whatever type of business you have, you need to go and review all of second quarter's financial statements, reports, sales data. Yes.
Food truck.
Yes.
The hot dog man.
Yes. They need to know. They need to know what location is more profitable. Where do they have more traffic?
Can't you just say, look, I got more money now than I had last
night? Nope. Because what will happen is, so let's use the food truck, for example. If they were to park in Hyattsville and they get 100 sales in 2 hours,
right,
and if they were to go in Greenbelt and they get 50 sales in 3 hours, what does that tell you? That you need to go back to Hyattsville.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the data to show you that information, how would you know what area you need to be at day to day or on a particular day to be most profitable?
Philosophy, so, you are after my heart today.
Yes.
I love this kind of information.
Oh, good. I wanted to switch it up a little bit. So what I need everyone to do, even if you don't have financial statements or don't have the data that you think I'm discussing, you actually do. All you need to do is pull out every invoice, paid statement, every cash deposit, everything that you've collected, all the sales information that you've collected from your clients. What you need to do now, separate it. You want to see, or is your customer base more males? Is your customer base more females?
Mm-hmm.
Is it teenagers? So you can now start generating marketing towards your particular clientele base.
Hello.
So, and that's where Robert comes into play. So this second quarter information is so valuable. Also, what we want to look and see what products we need to discontinue.
Mm.
I was just sitting here talking to Robert just now about letting go of my payroll service, and he's like, oh my gosh, for real, for Lashley? I'm like, yes. Not because it's not that profitable, but guess what? If you don't feel like you're fulfilling your purpose, or that, how would I say, you're not able to take your business to the next level, or if that service is not adding more value to your customers, you may want to discontinue it. The back-end information that we all have regarding our customer base, our sales, our marketing, everything is so valuable, and I need all of us to figure out what we can utilize the information for. Let me give you an example. I've been doing some Facebook ads.
Mm-hmm.
What I noticed, the women do not view my videos. I was so upset, Robert. I was so, because they're really my main clientele based online. So I'm sitting there now trying to figure out how I need to adjust my video marketing.
Are they hating on you?
I don't know. What am I? Look, Rob, I don't know.
Meow.
I said, I'm going to test it 3 times. I said, I'm going to look raggedy in one video. I'm going to look picture perfect in one.
Right.
And then I'm going to just look like a plain old Jane and see what the response towards the women will be. But guess what? If we don't do that, we're going to constantly lose money. So I need you to evaluate your data from second quarter, compare second quarter data to first quarter, so we can now prevent losing more money and overspending in every respect of our business.
Well, you know, Placid, I told you were too fine to be an accountant. That was that's a problem. The brothers might like it.
I get it all the time. And then look, I don't age well. Well, I age very well, so I look so young. So I don't know if they're like, oh my gosh, okay, this 20-year-old talking about she's an accountant. I'm like, yeah.
Right. So that could be part of the problem. I mean, I'm not knocking this. I'm not trying to start now.
We'll see what the type of videos, Nana. And we'll see what the response may be.
You gotta put your hair up in a bun, put on some big old thick eyeglasses.
Yeah,
take off your makeup, and I bet those numbers will go up overnight.
But the men, it's weird, Robert. So, yeah, just go ahead on and take a step back. I know we all are busy running our businesses, managing our employees, but go ahead and look at the data and see what we need to do. Do we need to discontinue a service? Do we need to implement a supplementary service or complementary service? So let's say, for example, Robert, he offers websites. So in addition to websites, what Robert may be able to offer to complement his website service? Oh, he can complement just one free blast on a radio show to now get when the business released the new website on that day. Robert can promote it, and that can be a complimentary service of his marketing.
Note from Philosophy.
Yeah, so, you know, we need to figure out what the back end tells us about our business so we can dominate and really put an impact in this economy, Robert.
Well, Philosophy, what you've said, and you have given, when I'm doing my classes at the college, I teach classes over at Prince George's Community College, and one thing people, when they don't understand marketing, because they feel like it's almost like it's witchcraft. It's like it's smoke and mirrors. It's that stuff doesn't work. I tried this. The reason it didn't work because they didn't track the results.
Yes.
I worked at Dietigo. I was the senior vice president of marketing and business development for 15 years. And the thing that we did, it was like the Bible for us. We tracked those numbers. We know the exact cost per acquisition mm-hmm. of every advertising channel that we utilized. We knew the lifetime value of every advertising channel that we utilized. Now, like you said, though, data becomes more important over time.
Yes, it does.
You don't have the data when you first start out.
So,
yes, there is some trial and error. There's a little try this, do that. But, boy, when you've been in business, like you said, even if it's a quarter.
Yes.
2 quarters. Don't talk about years. If you have years of data and you're not utilizing it, you need to get your head checked. Because let me tell you something, Jack. I keep track of everything. I have spreadsheets. I have a spreadsheet. I use a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet. Every time, even though I have my accounting system, but I still have a separate spreadsheet where every check that comes in, I put it in this spreadsheet. The type of payment, the type of client, any type of demographic information that come along
yes.
with it. And I can go back and do a pivot table on that.
Uh-huh.
Man, you talk about.
Robert, I'm getting excited. People don't even understand that a person's payment terms can actually allow you to upsell them.
That's
anybody
right.
that walk up in your shop right. with an American Express card, you can definitely upsell them. Why? One, they have good credit. Two, they pay back their balance every month.
Right.
So it shows you that they have a little savings or some back end. So your customers that have American Express, Robert, we can upsell them with other products. They may even go for it simply because, guess what, they're a little bit more stable. But if you don't have that data, Robert, we won't know.
Give you another piece of data that really just almost transformed my business. For many years, I assumed that most of my clients, because it was B2B, they want to pay by check. As everybody has a check, has mm-hmm. a company check. That's just a given. Well, after starting accepting credit cards many years ago, I went back and checked the numbers, and it was like 90%. People are paying with credit cards.
Yes.
So now, when a client is sitting across from me now, and I've given them my nice presentation, they're sitting there looking at me, and I just subtly say, well, you know, we take credit cards, and the beauty of a credit card is that you can pay it off over time. While we're making this campaign work, you can be paying it off in increments.
Yes.
Now, if you write a check, that's going to come out of your bank account uh-huh. tomorrow. Now, this is going to give you time to extend that payment while we get these things to work. Man, that's a slam dunk.
And the good thing about you, Robert, you receive your payment earlier because
right.
you know, and right away because they have act. They can just log in the middle of the night and make your payment with their credit card.
But
and
I
move on.
I wouldn't have known that if I didn't track the data.
Yeah.
And there are other things that are just as important where I have just looked at the data. Most of my clients are women.
Oh.
I didn't plan it that way. I didn't go out targeting women, but now I am very aware of that. So in my literature. And my language.
Speak to women.
When I'm speaking to certain groups, I walk into a room, if there's 50-50 men, I mean, it's not that I'm trying to be a flirt, but I know for the fact that most of the more of those people are going to come to me from the women's side of the room than the male side. I have male friends, probably mm-hmm. about 30%, 40% of my audience, but about 60%, 70% on any given year, a female. But I wouldn't know that if I didn't keep track of the data. So now I can make decisions based on this information. That means I'm not wasting money. I gave you those three numbers earlier, cost of acquisition. When you are targeting your audience based on real numbers, your acquisition cost goes down. That means now you're spending less money on advertising to acquire a customer. That affects your bottom line directly.
Does.
That is money you get to hang on to reinvest, to buy assets, to buy equipment, to hire people.
To try out different products or, yeah.
So that is
different marketing streams. So this is really good, Robert.
So great.
Remember, I went through that. Remember 3 years ago, I was like, Robert, my clients are like delaying payments and everything. And I was like, I have to figure out a way to implement credit card. You were telling me about, see? Oh, I hope you guys got a lot out of this.
And so what you were saying earlier also about trying out, you have a service. When we start a business, sometimes we pick services based on what the competition is doing, what we read somewhere.
Everything, yeah.
But as we get out here, we realize some of your services are just never going to make you any money.
Yeah.
They're really just a drag on your company.
Yeah.
If I could sell just one service, and that'd be all, that's what I would do. Unfortunately, because now of the Walmartization of the economy, you almost have to sell these other items. It doesn't mean you have to sell them personally, though. You can outsource that.
Yep.
You can create a referral relationship. We talked about that last month. We talked about the referral relationship, the reseller relationship, and the one more. All of them started with R. You don't have to do it yourself. you can concentrate, in your case, philosophy, if you want to concentrate on accounting, consulting, doing the 1120s and the 990s, then you can say, look, okay, the payroll service that comes in, somebody else over here trying to get that payroll business off the ground, she said, look, let me bring you under my umbrella as a partner, and I would funnel that off to you, just give me a 20% finder's fee. Keep it moving.
Yes. I'm looking at different angles, but yeah.
So anyway,
we all have to do it.
We have to do it, folks. Well, anyway, that's the thank you, Philosopher Dave, for that, bringing it today. You must have known I had numbers on my mind today, because we're talking about numbers. As a matter of fact, later in the next segment, I was watching this CNN the other day, and this guy, he was an ex-cop beating up on one of the Black Lives Matter guys. And this guy waving his little papers in his hand. I got the facts. Let me tell you something, folks. Do not be intimidated. Do not be bullied by somebody who's telling you they have data or facts or numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers do, and they can, and they will lie. Since the beginning of time, numbers have been lying. Don't fall for the okey-doke. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about numbers, how they lie, and 8 ways to avoid falling for it. Mark me pulpit. We'll be right back after the break.
WOL.
This is the Marketing Pulpit. I have Lena Seven, and I have Philosopher Dave.
Yes, right here.
All right, guys, we got a good show going here. We've been touching on some people have asked me, why do we talk about these issues such as violence and riots and shootings and what's going on in the world? Because, folks, you can't survive in this. You can't operate in a vacuum. Things that are going around you affect you. One of the things we teach in marketing is called one of the factors that can determine the success or failure of your business is the environment. When we say the environment, we're not just talking about the rain and the trees and grass. It's the things that are happening that you have no control over. So if somebody goes out and shoots up the mall and you're working in, I mean, no amount of marketing in the world is going to help you in that case. That was out of your control.
You know what?
We call that the environment, so we have to be attuned, in tune to what's going on around us at all times.
That's true, Robert.
Right, but Robert, also, people need support, you know,
yes.
And that's the other thing.
They need support, right.
We cannot affect change without numbers sometimes, so Robert, we really do need the support of our communities. We need support of each other, pushing the message, making sure that people are informed, making sure that people know what they can do or how they can be helpful to these situations. And I'm not saying it has to be black or white. I'm just saying it just needs to be communities coming out and helping.
That's
and
right.
Getting the message out and making sure that the people who need to be prosecuted in our society are prosecuted properly.
That's
and
right.
Are dealt with.
That's exactly right. So we are in this, so you can't just sit in a bubble and count your money and say, well, it's not going to affect me. So that's why we tackle these issues face on, and we try to put it, we run it through the lens, the prism of marketing, business development, and economic empowerment, because it will impact you in some ways, great or small. You've heard the expressions, numbers don't lie. The truth of the matter is that numbers do lie. They lie every day. I mean, somebody probably lied to you this morning. You're sitting there watching the news. Hey, I saw it on CNN. It must be true. The guy said he had the facts. He had the numbers.
I don't even watch the news anymore.
Oh, boy, you don't know what to believe anymore. And probably what I'm going to tell you is not going to help you get faith in what you But you need to be aware. You need to be aware. Here are some examples how numbers can mislead or just flat out lie. And this is an old trick. You use a small sample size. Sometimes the sample that they're using to make their point is so small, and they're trying to spread it over a population of thousands or millions. Sometimes they would use a very small sample, and it's not representative of the whole. That's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, how numbers can lie or mislead, is that people misuse correlation versus causation.
Mm.
Let me break that down for you. Let's just give you an example. Let's say that in neighborhood A, the population shifted from mostly one demographic to another over the course of 5 years. And so somebody said, well, the crime went up during that same period of time. Unless you can prove that the people that moved in the community committed those crimes, what we have is a correlation, not a causation.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference.
Major difference.
But sometimes people present this as a fact, and when in fact they are misleading and sometimes just downright lying. Okay? So hang with me here. We're talking about these numbers and how people make them lie. So the next time you find yourself on CNN or across the table from some egghead who's waving numbers in your face, you have these facts in your head. Another way is selection bias. Mm. When they're telling you that the numbers came from a big sample or a random sample, when indeed it was not. It was not a random sample. It was selected based on a premise they were trying to prove. So that is called selection bias. Of course, the numbers that they presented were right, but the selection of the group was not random. In which, in fact, means that they were misleading and, in some cases, downright lying. Here's another one. Arbitrary cutoffs. If you lay out data from the front of this building to the end of this building, and you took all of that data, let's say that was the entirety of the data, and you took all the sampling, you took the averages, and then you said, okay, this is what the numbers reveal. But if I'm trying to prove a point, I can go and arbitrarily cut off the data at any given point. I won't start at the beginning or the end. I may just stop at the one-half mark because the data in that particular range helps support my argument. So these arbitrary cutoffs is another way that we can make numbers lie.
This is good, Robert.
Here's another one, area bias. You can pull data from a geographic location that is not representative of the point you're trying to make. I'm giving you numbers from New York when I'm talking to you in California. The area does not match the data you're trying to prove. So we can use area bias to make numbers mislead or just downright lie. Now you're going to find this one very interesting. They misuse or they mislead you using the word average.
Yes.
Because I could look at you in a straight face and say that the average income of African Americans is $150,000. I could turn around on a different show and tell you that it was $35,000. And at the same time, I could go to another show and say it's $10,000 and would not be lying to you. Because when I used the word average, I did not tell you whether I was using the mean, the median, or the mode. The mean simply means you take all the data and divide it by the number of variables. The median, you take the middle value. And if it's two in the middle, you take those two and you get the mean of those. And the mode is the one that occurs most often. And depending on what point you're trying to make, you can pull one of those out and say, well, the average is. So that's another way how you can make those numbers lie. Here's another one. Visual trickery when you're using graphs. Anybody who's taken algebra and trigonometry, we use the x and the y axis. And this was kind of hard to explain without having the visual. But you can make those numbers look like there is such a wide range between A and B. Or you can make it look like they're almost tied, depending on how you stretch that y and that x axis. And when somebody's trying to make a presentation, and I'm telling you, about anybody who's in sales, and I used to be a media buyer, I still do it to some degree. The sales, the media guy would come into my office, and no matter who I called, they were number one. It didn't matter. It didn't matter because they were using these number tactics to make themselves always be number one. And they would have the little graph to prove it. So visual trickery is another way you can make numbers mislead or just downright lie. And number eight, this is my last one. We call this data analysis bias. Now, what that means is that you set out with a purpose. You set out on a mission to make those numbers support a position. You were not objective. And when you set out with a mission, you can make those numbers do whatever you want to. You start out with a bias. You're gathering this information. You're transforming the data with a goal of supporting your desired outcome. That's called a data analysis bias. And also, I won't get into this in the detail, but beware of a thing called the Simpson's paradox. You have a trend of two different groups. When you take the numbers separately, they have one thing, but when you put them together, it actually reverses the outcome. All these things are used, folks, when people are trying to make these cases. They're trying to tell you not to believe your lying eyes. No. Blacks aren't being shot by cops. Look, I got data that says that they're not. And you're sitting there looking at it. They're trying to convince you that you are not believing what you're seeing. So how do I stop this? First of all, don't believe everything you've heard just because it has data, science, or fact behind it. Number two, look at the sources. If you don't see a source, don't trust the information. Number three, check to see if there's any obvious sources of bias in the data. Four, find out how the data was collected and where it was collected from. Five, find out how recent the data is and if it relates to the timeline of the discussion. And try to find out if that data has an ulterior motive to manipulate your opinion. Folks, numbers do lie. I just showed you how you can do it. You can find out more about this by going to marketingpulpit.com or calling me at 301-839-2836. That's going to wrap up our show for today. This is the Marketing Pulpit. We'll be back next week at the same time. And if you want to be successful, you got to do these three things. Do the right thing.
At the right time.
And you got to do it right, folks. Enough talk. Let's get to work.
Why don't you give more power to the people? 1450 WOL.